Hey, this is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week's guest is Camille LeBlanc-Bazinet, eight-time CrossFit Games competitor and the 2014 CrossFit Games champion. The first half of this conversation is kind of an extension of a conversation she and I had a few months ago when she stayed with D&I. I realized that I had all of these preconceived ideas about who Camille was based on, you know, watching her at the games and hearing about her in the community. And I realized that how wrong I was. And as we got to talking, I understood how much emphasis she put on building a better mental game and how, you know, how much energy she was putting into her mindset. And so we talk about kind of the evolution of her as an athlete and a person from a mindset standpoint. In the second half, we talk about body image. I think it's really interesting that on social media, so many people give Camille shit for not being leaner despite having a six pack. And so we talk about, you know, as a woman, as an athlete in general, how that feels, how she deals with it, advice she has for others, and, you know, her process for dealing with all of that. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Mike. This is Adam Hickson from The Crunch in Southern Illinois. We cater to a lot of athletes, and one of the things that we've been recently trying to get better at and implement is the idea of eccentric and concentric training into our programming. I was curious to what type of parameters you would recommend for eccentric and concentric training and kind of when you would implement it versus how often. And any information you could have on that would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much.
Hey, Adam. So there's really too much to this question to be able to answer in just a couple minutes because it's very individual to your clients and athletes. What are their training ages? What phase are they in of the competitive season, et cetera? So what I'm going to do is give a little context and foundation to anyone listening that isn't familiar with this type of training. And then at the end, I'm going to give you a couple resources so you can go learn more and apply it to your situation. So it sounds like you're already aware of the benefits, but for anyone listening that doesn't know about this type of training, basically there are three phases of every lift and every movement. There's an eccentric or down phase, an isometric or pause at the top or bottom, and then there is an up phase or concentric phase. Usually when I talk about tempo training, I'm usually referring to eccentric training. The biggest reason being that it allows you to focus so much more on technique. So if you imagine yourself doing a squat and you're going down for 4 seconds, how much more time do you have to focus on your technique? A ton more, right? Usually it takes about a second and a half to 2 seconds, and now you have double that to focus on proper technique. So this is great for beginners, great for on-ramp programs, and also phenomenal for the beginning of a season. Typically, your time under tension or the total seconds that you're working, the total seconds you have that bar in your back is greater than if you were to do a set with the same amount of reps without a tempo. So that's great for adding volume to your program. The second reason tempo training is so effective is that you're really doing less reps overall. Your time under tension can be greater and you're doing less reps. So that's going to be healthier for your joints. Because if you imagine, if being at the bottom of a squat is kind of the most taxing for your knee joint, then having less reps over time is going to be a lot healthier for you. And finally, specifically focusing on eccentric training allows you to build up your connective tissue a ton. Connective tissue is built through time under tension, increased time under tension. And so that's just a phenomenal way to make sure all of that connective tissue is strong so that when you're building strength over the rest of the year, you're not outgrowing that connective tissue. So you're able to stay healthier longer. A couple resources to go and find more information on this. One, we put out a couple years ago a free 5-week program, a lower body program that we give a lot of our athletes. And you can find that by Googling Lessons in Manliness from the Legend of Hacksaw. That's Lessons in Manliness from the Legend of Hacksaw. That's on our website. free 5-week cycle with a bunch of videos on how to do it. And secondly, go and read Triphasic Training by Cal Dietz. If you want a really comprehensive understanding of how this type of training can benefit you, how it works, as well as get a ton of relevant examples, Cal Dietz did a masterful job of that. And it also, if you don't have a very good base of exercise science, this can also act as that, because he goes into detail about a lot of the fundamentals of exercise science and strength and conditioning programming in general. So hope that helps. Hey everyone, this is Mike Cashew and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. Camille, I know you're very deep into games training. You're incredibly busy, and I really appreciate you making some time to do this with me today.
Sure.
So as I was, as we were just talking about, you stayed with Adi and I a few months ago, right before regionals, and we had a conversation that, really taught me a lot about you. I had before I met you in Wodapalooza, even in January, or right after Wodapalooza rather, I had kind of this preconceived notion about you and what you were about before even meeting you. And a lot of that stemmed from, you know, me watching you at the games.
Yeah.
And then I found that after getting to know you, I had misjudged you, right? I saw the way that you reacted at the games, and I thought like that's who Camille is. But I was, you know, as I got to know you, I was blown away by your depth and your humility. And it seems like you've undergone like a very significant transformation in the past couple of years. So I'm wondering if you can talk about kind of who you were as a person, an athlete, a couple of years ago, and kind of what inspired you to want to change.
Yeah, I think as a person, you're kind of always the same person. You're just younger with less experience, and I also think that like, For a lot of athletes, I think maybe all the athletes in general, it's kind of hard to know who they are at all, because everything that is like portrayed outside is social media and is how someone wants you to be seen. So it's not like if you, you know, spend time with the person when they are vulnerable or they're just at home drinking coffee, and that's kind of when you get to know someone. Mm-hmm. You're like super high under pressure, and then, you know, like they say, a shit hit the fan, and that's all people see from you.
Right.
Which is kind of unfair, because, you know, I don't think in some place I could have reacted better in some uncontrollable thing that happened to me at the game. But in other way, it made me grow and made me a better person. But like going back to like, I think years ago, I think I've always been someone who was very open-minded to learn and to become a better person. And I think it's just this like consistent effort to do that over the year that now is kind of leading me towards the person I'm becoming. But I don't think it's something that happened just like from last year to this year. Mm-hmm. But it's just like this kind of year to year facing new challenge and facing yourself more, being open to see the good and the bad, the amazing and the ugly, and just always try to move in the right direction, which is just, you know, putting things more in perspective, which it seems to be really happening to people when they get closer to 30. You realize that you're not special, and your job is not to be better than anyone, but your job is like being part of a community and help. And like, I think having this perspective is way better.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and I really love what you said about kind of what people know of you or see of you is kind of the videos from the CrossFit Games, right? The most eyeballs are all on the videos of the CrossFit Games, and that's the highest pressure situation that an athlete could be in, right? And yeah. So it's going to test you and it's going to challenge you. And so that, you know, it makes a lot of sense what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like you work for this all year, and as you go, you're like, your body is ruined, you're hurt, you're emotional, you're just, you know, you're at like the, like we all have our personality, right? And we have like our good and our bad, and you're at like all the extreme, and anything can set you off. And it's like this thing happened, and as soon as it happened, where normally you would have intimacy to deal with, maybe with your husband or with your loved one, now you have a camera on your face, mm-hmm. which is like very, I guess, very unfair, and definitely it really kind of break this intimacy of like just wanting to be yourself. You know, I just want to cry for 5 seconds, please, but I can't because I have a camera on my face. And it's like, I think there's like an extra challenge of dealing with your emotion and always like really trying to portray, like for me, I always want to portray like being a good role model. And it's just hard when you compete sometimes.
Can you think back to a specific moment or conversation that you've had in the past couple of years that has most impacted you? I know you talked to me about some conversations you had with Dave surrounding mindset and stuff like that. Is there a moment that really sticks out for you?
I think like, and I mean, I'm super able to talk about it now because, you know, I think once you own things that happen and you stop like trying to blame someone, you can talk about it because it's fine. But I think like in 2015, when I got my no rep in the snatch ladder, it really like it felt like it broke. Back then, it broke something inside me. And you know how like sometimes in life something happened and then you just start like blaming people or blaming, you know, oh, they don't want me to succeed. Oh, like, you know, everyone's against me or whatever, because that's easier to tell yourself than being, hey, guess what? Like, I need to be perfect all the time and it's on me to be perfect. And because I can control that and the rest I can. And I just, after that, had this conversation, with friends and Dave, and the conversation was like, hey, no one is there to get you. And like everyone is there to do their job and everyone is trying to do the best they can. And it was like, it was like this thing I created in my mind that was like completely false, but it was just at the time felt less hurtful than facing the truth. And now, I don't know, I think that was like a big thing for me, like to really let that go and see it in the other way and as a great opportunity to just like, hey, I'm going to really focus on like moving way better and being perfect. And next thing you know, I'm a way better athlete for it. So it's only positive. But I think like those conversations that force you to face little thing about you or little like monster that you created yourself are always like, I mean, hurtful at first, but very good at the end to grow as a person.
Absolutely. I think those things end up controlling us in ways outside of our performance, right? If you mm-hmm. if you have that belief in your, you know, athletic arena, then it's probably showing up in your life as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a big thing in our house. We do things right. And we do things right for everything and anything. And that goes from, you know, the way you care and you put love in like the meal I cook for Dave or and then you put the same care and love in everything you do. But you have to do everything right.
So this is the first regional. I'm sorry, you might be able to hear my dog whining. Adi just dropped him off. So this is the first regional that you haven't won since 2012, I believe. But from my perspective, this was the most poised I've ever seen you. You know, the most calm, the most confident.
Yeah.
What do you make of all of that?
Oh, it was, I mean, this year was a big victory for me. It wasn't, I'm like way, way, way more proud of what I did this year than the way I won last year. Cause last year I was in a bad mindset. I was kind of a little princess, and that was just, I mean, that was just me going through some stuff. Like, I was like, you know, last year at regional, it was kind of the start of me cleaning my laundry and like facing some stuff I had to face. And this year, I just think I've worked a lot on it through, like, I guess, books and meditation and everything. And I just realized how important it is in life in general. So my expectation were way different, where this year my only expectation was truly to do the best I could in any situation that I was put in. And funny enough, life is always going to challenge you in like the one workout that could easily set you up with like the same, you know, kind of like demon that could have get to you in the past year. And I was really happy that happened at regional this year. And, you know, just stay calm and did my thing. And it is what it is. But I was super proud of myself.
So first off, that's awesome. And like I said, it was really cool to see you that calm amidst, you know, being so challenged, right? So challenged by another competitor. What specifically do you think has attributed to that growth? Like, what, you know, you mentioned meditation. Are there specific practices that you have daily, or exercises that you've done, or conversations? What do you attribute all of that to?
Yeah, I think yes to all of that. But me and Dave, I mean, I'm so lucky to have a husband that is this supportive, and not just supportive in a way like I'm here for you, but he's very kind of hands-on, and he takes step. And we talked about like maybe being with a sports psychologist, and we travel a lot, and then we didn't really knew where to find that. And, you know, almost put me in a situation that you think that someone is going to do something for you. And me and Dave just talk a lot about it. And he just told me, hey, you know, in life, when you want something, like if you really want this for yourself, truly at the end, only you can do it. And I was like, okay, done. Like, I'm going to take care of myself. And I'm going to challenge myself mentally, and it's up to me to get through this and like really embrace it. And I think that's been like the biggest thing, because it's like once you decide you're going to commit to this, and like this year was, I'm going to commit to get better in my head. And that was like a big thing. And I'm going to commit to like have no expectation, hone my strength, own my weakness. Just don't blame anyone for anything. I have no excuse, and just always embrace any challenge. And just, you know, when your head starts to wander around, just try to cut yourself and be, hey, like, we're not going back there. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of, I've been it. And it's just, I haven't been willing to do that. Like, for example, this morning there is this open water thing that is super early on Wednesday morning. And instead of being like, oh gosh, like I don't want to go swim this early and there's no one to come with me, and you know, no, it's like no one see you do it, no one cares. And instead of having this mindset of like, kind of having pity for yourself or anything. It's like, gosh, like I have the opportunity to do this and not only do this, but like this is going to be great because I'm going to have to wake up early. It's going to be uncomfortable. I might not have like the food I want. And this is a great opportunity to recreate something that might happen at the game. And it's just like this like big difference of, you know, get to the gym without my lifting shoes. Like, gosh, this is awesome. Like, good opportunity for today to lift without my lifting shoes because it doesn't matter. You're good. And then you just like, I don't know, keep doing that for a lot of thing. And then you get to your competition and someone next to you is doing something or you get a no rep and is like, okay, you know, it's like me forgetting my lifting shoes or whatever. So it's right. It's fine.
There's a book I love called The Obstacle is the Way. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, you gave it to me.
Oh my God. I hope Pat Barber listens to this because I've gifted him the same book multiple times too. I'm sorry, funny. I forgot. So yeah, it sounds like exactly what you're talking about where you're taking a challenge and using it as like a repetition to practice something, you know, practice overcoming something. You're using the challenges to your benefit.
Yeah. Like, I mean, something I've done, like I've been trying to do a lot this year is just kind of be more in tune with like, just being aware of those feelings that comes and goes as you train. Cause I think like in the past, like, and I'm not the only athlete who's like that. And I'm not saying I'm cured from it, but you make an excuse to react a certain way by saying at the end, but like I'm emotional or like I just care so much, you know, I have so much emotion, but all of that is not good for performance. And it's also, again, just an excuse. And I realize now that that has been like a big part of me. And like, yes, part of it is because I do care so much, but you need to find a way to control those nerves. Mm-hmm. So I've done like this year a lot of like underwater non-breathing swimming because I felt like that was the place that I could feel that panic coming the most. And then I just learned to like see it coming and try to stop it ahead of time kind of. So like just try to put myself in situation like that this year where like you're sprinting, going as hard as you can and you can feel like this sort of doubt coming in and like, oh my God, like I can feel like I'm going to hit this wall or start to hyperventilate. And it's like, no, like I'm going to try to stop this right now. You're fine. And just like kind of stay calm. And that's been like really great to do. But I mean, it also hurts a lot because you push really hard.
Right. Can you explain that? Like what you do in the pool a little more to bring that out?
Yeah, I just do length without breathing. Mm-hmm. Like that's really just it. But it's like, you know, you have enough oxygen to make it through the other end of the pool. But all of a sudden you're like, I think like because you're deprived of oxygen, you like make this thing in your head that like you're going to die or you have to breathe.
Right.
Where like, I mean, you can no problem hold your breath like outside for 30 seconds. And it's just like understanding that those are just like feeling an emotion coming, but it's not real.
Right. So you're just focusing on your kind of internal dialogue as you get to that kind of panic state.
Yeah. And like, I like really try to like kind of make it like, I don't know how to say it, but I'm not waiting for it to come, but I try to stop it before it even happen.
Okay. And how do you do that? How do you stop it? What does that sound like in your head or feel like?
It sounds like this. No. No. Yeah. It'll be my maybe something like that sometimes. I was like, just hell no.
Yeah.
Like, but it'll be like, I'm good.
Just like dominating it.
Yeah, like, I'm good. Or like, hey, calm down, you're fine. Or it'll be a lot. I think this year a lot more, though, of like, I'll tell myself kind of challenge accepted. I'll be like, you know, I'm like breathing fire and everything. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see what happens if like, it's almost like I try to use it as a cue to like do two more reps faster and just see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And just see let's if you die. Yeah, exactly. Let's see. And then I'm still alive or I go puke outside or something. But I mean, I did it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Another thing I kind of hear you talking about is, and especially in reference to the snatch event, right, when you got the no rep, is this idea of personal accountability and you just taking full accountability for yourself and your performance and not putting blame or the onus on anyone else to make it happen for you or to have the power to take it away from you. So what has that process been like and where else has that shown up in your life?
Oh, I think it showed up in my life. I mean, I think like studying through doing all of this, that has been like an insane, help, I think, to really just learn how to hunker down and suck it up. Because, you know, in CrossFit and everything, if I want to feel good about myself, I can't just go to someone saying that I'm great, right? Mm-hmm. Which is silly because I don't like hearing those things at all. But I think that, like, because my study are not easy and I'm doing it, I mean, I'm finally done, but on top of doing everything else, and that no one is there to pat my back when I, like, you know, spend like 5-6 hours of studying until 2 a.m. and then the next day I wake up and I train and I do it again, and no one sees that. And at my school, no one even know that I'm an athlete, and there's no like, really, it's up to you to do it. And it's like, you're the one who need to sit down and like do what you need to do to make it happen. And I think being so accountable for my school, like, helped me, like, being like, how did I like let that get away from me a little bit in my training, where like, it became like people talk so much about you that you start to listen to those things, which is so silly because I don't think a lot of people truly know me at all except the people that are close to me. And that started to be disruptive to my training. Like, if all of a sudden I had something to prove to someone else, which I never felt like I had to do. And now it's being like accountable to like being able to see this and being, wait a second, I've always had this goal to just be the best me. And I do this for me because I love it. And, you know, when you're, I think, just being able to separate that from a ranking or from expectation that everyone puts on you, and now you just judge yourself with, I just work hard and I'm a good person, it's just a lot more fun. And you do things right. And all of that, like, brings me extreme pride, mm-hmm. which is way better than any ranking or any sort of, like, approval from somewhere else or whatever. I just want, you know, me and my husband to be proud of what we are accomplishing.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a paradox. You know, the people that all they focus on is winning are usually not as successful as the ones that focus on having fun, getting better, improving, mm-hmm. enjoying the process. You know, it's like they don't even care about the winning as much as the other people, but they're more successful because they're focused on doing things correctly.
Yeah. And I think, like, I think success just always have like sometimes some way to come to you, right? And I think it goes with what you value the most. And I obviously would be ecstatic to like get back on the podium and everything, but I'm not foolish enough to know that the only way that can happen is by doing things right and working hard and having fun. And I know that. But at the same time, I think it's even better when you can look at your life and just be, gosh, I'm so lucky to do that. And truly the most important thing for me is like my family, my friend, my husband, and my dog. Mm-hmm. So at the end, like, I'm already winning. I feel successful because I have an amazing family. And, you know, the rest is, I don't know, the rest is just sparkle on top of the already humongous cake I have. Mm-hmm. Success for me is the thing that I'm the most proud of is getting my chemical engineering degree while competing. Because when I compete, you have reward and people talk about you and there's so much reward from it. But when I got my degree, there was no reward. Nothing.
No external reward.
Nothing. And more than that, like the amount of sacrifice I had to do to get my degree, and it was not easy. And there's so many things that like did happen, like as obstacle and got in the way. And gosh, you just like go over it and you're like, are you kidding me that I can't like just go through this easy? But at the end, like, I mean, that's what I'm the most proud of, more than winning the game, because that was hard, like for real.
It's interesting. I was reading something about this yesterday. It is well researched that the harder you work for something, the more you tend to value it. So, yeah. You know, you worked your ass off and it sounds like it challenged you in a way that the games never can challenge you. And mm-hmm. because of that, you value it so much more.
Oh, I like, to be honest, I was to the point in my head that I was like, I just don't know how I will ever get my degree, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to stop. But like, I'm just going to hang on. And like, I just don't, it was like almost becoming this impossible task. As I like got married to Dave, moved to the US, my school is in Canada. I would like go to Canada for 2 months, sleep in like a shitty dorm, like not see my husband for 2 months. Struggle to train because there's no good like training place and just but like yeah I it's even hard to explain like how much there was to go through, but mm-hmm. I think that by far made me such a better person and appreciate like be able to see hard work in other people become the thing that I value the most with people around me.
Right.
Like that's pretty much how I value people. Like if you work hard, I'm your number one fan. Mm-hmm.
Because what does that mean if they work hard? What does that mean to you?
I just think that they're like taking step to help our society in a way, and they have passion and like they're trying to do something good. I think that to work this hard, you have to be humble, and I don't know. I also just think that it's so hard that it makes me like really look up to someone that when things are hard, they don't look down, they don't give up. They just, mm-hmm. they just hunker down and hustle and like work twice as hard. And that is so impressive.
I totally agree. At this point in your career, you've been in it, I don't know what, coming up on 10 years, huh?
Eight. Well, this is my eighth year at the games.
Eighth year at the games. So you've been in it for a long time. Out of all of the things that there are to improve in physical, mental, emotional, etc. What are you most focused on improving right now?
I think like right now, especially with the game coming, you want to make sure that you peak at the game. So right now it's like ramping up this like volume and strength kind of since regional. And but I think most importantly, it's like kind of getting my head ready. It's like ready to really embrace the suck for all that time. And I don't know, just like I don't know what the name. Just be like proud of myself. Like I just don't want to let myself down. Like mm-hmm. I feel like I've done in the past, and I'm training that way right now. Because I just really believe in habit, and I don't believe that you show up to the game and, like, you know, you hear a lot of people like, oh, I'm good when I compete. I turn it on. And I just try to be on all the time. Mm-hmm. So then it becomes an habit, and my, you know, my body can just take over when I compete. So I'm just trying to keep myself healthy, not overtrain, try to be hungry. Again, that goes with not overtraining, and just have a full heart and a clear mind to be the best I can be.
So at this point in the season, the volume is extremely high and the risk for injury is therefore higher. How do you know when to maybe take a training session off or a day off, or, you know, how do you know when to hold back, because you have to be healthy for the games?
Yeah, I think there's like different like things to help you. So this year Dave bought me a grip strength thingy, mm-hmm. where like, because I mean it's so hard physically, but it's also really hard emotionally. So sometimes you'll like feel tired, but you don't even know if you're truly tired, or if just like, you know, your head is kind of a little bit more mushy that day. Right. Like the same way that your body kind of goes up and down. I think it's the same thing with your head. You have like up and down. And I think the grip strength has been really good for us, because I have certain number that I need to hit. Mm-hmm. So someday Dave will be like, okay, if you don't hit like 38 or more, you're not allowed to pull. And that way we make sure my nervous system is always good and ready to go. Instead of just being like, always, well, let's just fill it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an athlete who loves to overtrain because I'm so scared to not do enough.
Right.
It's been killing me at first. And he would like yell at me in the garage, and he would get frustrated because in the past, I mean, that's always how I injured myself. And then I would just yell back at him and be, but I just want to train. And then I like hit 2 PR yesterday,
wow.
Which were huge. And I looked at him. I was like, okay, I guess it's working.
Nice. Nice.
But yeah, I think having Marker and a nice husband, it is great.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. So for those of you listening that don't know about this, there are two like very simple ways to know if you are overtrained, and that's grip, you know, using a test of grip or a max height box jump. Well, box jump, maybe not so much,
because
that has to do with mobility, but a vertical jump. Those are both tremendous ways to see if you are overtrained. And so if you know what you are at baseline when you're rested, and then you test it during a high volume, you know, portion of your training, and you're, you know, significantly below that marker, then that's probably a good sign to take a day off. And sometimes you need a whole week off, but yeah, that's really cool that you're using that.
And it's just, I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to train that day,
right?
But it's just, hey, today is not the day to like attack my nervous system even more. So mm-hmm. that'll be the day to do like those longer workouts where it's a lot more just like sort of mental focus and aerobic capacity, and mm-hmm. I do gymnastic work and things like that, which I'm still getting fitter.
Absolutely. But it's just less risk for injury.
Yes. And everything needs to put you in, you know, make you go in the right way.
Right.
Training to train is not you know, you can train or you can get better. So sometimes it's like, you know, they will be in the garage and be like, hey, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I'm good. And then he's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, because I want to train so bad. And then it'll just be like, okay, like, are you going to get something out of this? And then he'll leave for 5 minutes and I'll do like one set and I'll get out of the garage and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to rest.
Nice. I love that. So you, in general, you train by yourself a ton. And I've seen firsthand how hard you push yourself. One of the most common questions that we get is from people asking how to stay motivated or go harder when they work out alone. What if any advice do you have for people, for those types of people?
Well, I would say the first thing is stop trying to find that motivation anywhere, because it's not, there's no magic. Like, and I think, you know, I think that goes with why I think people work hard and just pour their heart every day in what they do is so impressive and amazing, because like they don't feel good inside. It's not like they wake up on this like magic pill that every day it's like, hello sunshine, I feel amazing, I'm gonna train, I'm gonna PR. It's like, gosh, I wake up in the morning and I'm so sore and I just want to stay in my bed and cuddle my dog and my husband. And I'm like, you know, you just like, it's like the first choice. Okay, I can stay here, snuggle my dog and my husband, but I know what I have to do to achieve my goal. And I know what I have to do to become a better person. And it's not choosing the easy way. And I think like the same way when I train, it's just like always, let's go see what's on the other side, because I know every time I go on that other side, there's just this humongous amount of pride after that. I like did it. I got better. I'm moving in the right direction. And I think that's my motivation. And same if that day it's not a PR, or same if that day, you know, if you can just overcome something every day and just like get really proud of that, I just think that's golden. Mm-hmm. Like that's my motivation, but there's no like quote or anything. Like they're good to, you know, just, I think, build a mindset. Like I have a bunch of quote written on my mirror just so it kind of can get like really like, just get deep down in my head that it just like things that are normal to me. But I think everything at the end always comes from you. Like just do it. Instead of thinking about this huge workout, do one rep at a time and do it really, really good. And next thing you know, you're done with your 100.
Right. There's a quote I really love that says, amateurs wait for inspiration. Professionals do it with a headache, right? We can't expect to always feel inspired and extremely motivated. But when we have a commitment, we just have to show up. Some days, you know, everything is kind of holding us in bed or making us wanna take the easy way out. And you know, part of being a professional or achieving some huge goal is doing the things that we need to do, you know, to honor our commitments despite how we feel inside.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's so funny. Yeah, I have like bunch. I mean, I do have quotes like everywhere around me, but I don't see it as like I need it for motivation. I see it as a reminder of like the person I want to be. Mm-hmm. And it's like every time I see them, like, hell yes, I want to be that person, you know? I'm this person who give everything every day. Okay, I'm this person who I want to be kind to everyone every day. I'm this person who in the gym, if I see someone putting their stuff away, I want to go help them because all those little things are just so important, like to be more than like, I want to inspire someone. Like, I just want to be a better person.
Amen. So I want to shift a little bit. I want to talk about body image for a little. And so one thing I've found very interesting about you in the past year, few years, is in regards to your body. And you've always had a six pack, and yet people on social media say, you know, you need to be leaner or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think you've always handled it really gracefully, and yeah. It even created the hashtag Power Pooch.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, can you talk a little bit about what that's been like for you, and just how you've felt about that over the years?
Well, I remember, like, so in 2010 was my first year I competed at the game. And then, you know, I think it was also kind of when social media started to become bigger. And I remember me and Dave would do video and people would, like, rip us apart. And, oh, my God, it, like, broke my heart. I was, like, I think I, like, just turned 22. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, how can people be so mean? Like, they don't even know us. They don't, like, and, you know, I think, as you grow and I'm obviously the person I am today, and I have confidence because I think I know who I am. And it just, you know, I think the showing people that I'm, like, so comfortable in my skin. And I'm comfortable in my skin because I have so much pride in what I do. And I see what I look like just as a vehicle to what I do. And I feel like on top of that, like, no matter what you look like, you pretty much, like, won the genetic lottery or not, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, like, it's just a vehicle for your soul, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just see my body and what my body just represent kind of exactly the work I put in. And if, like, someone thinks that I should or shouldn't have a power pouch, well, I couldn't care less, because the goal is to be as fit as possible and a good person. So if I'm the fittest and, like, the best person ever with a power pouch, where I think I'm doing great.
Nice. The power pouch. I don't know why I said the power pooch.
Oh, because I don't even know how to say pooch or pouch. So it's more yeah. Me. I, like, don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
But I just remember, like, that hashtag came from, like, people saying that I had that. And I was like, yeah, but, like, if I lose that, like, I'm too lean. And I'm here to perform. Like, I'm not here to, like, take picture and look pretty. I mean, when I train, I yell, I sweat, I bleed, I spit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to take a great picture here. I'm, like, trying to take myself to, like, that next step outside my comfort zone. So, like, whatever, you know? And then I was like, yeah, like, if I lose my pouch or pooch, I'm too lean.
Right.
So that's, like, become where I hold my power. Like, if I get too lean, like, I'm not going to be as good, and that's not good.
Right on. So what led to you reaching out to Adi and working against gravity? And then how has your nutrition and relationship with food changed since then, or stayed the same?
Well, as a, like, smaller athlete, I think that it got almost, like, engraved in my head early on that in order to be strong, you had to be big. And it's, like, for years, I feel like I've tried to keep myself heavier because to try to, like, stay in the game, because all the other girls are so much bigger than me. Mm-hmm. I know I look big on picture, but when you put me next to the other girl, I, like, look like a little mouse.
Right.
A little jack mouse, but
a jack mouse, yeah.
I'm, like, really small, so I'm like, okay, like, you know, I'm fairly good at the gymnastic. I'm very technical in the weightlifting, but, like, all that brute strength where, like, it seems like you need weight to back up, like, so my relation with food has never been, like, unhealthy. I've always seen food, I mean, and like since CrossFit, I've always seen food as a performance kind of deal, like it just to be healthy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously before that, I saw food as like, I need to be skinny and it's like, you know, not good for you. And thanks God, all of that changed once I had better value than the way I look. Mm-hmm. But yeah, food has always been like kind of performance based, but I don't think I've ever had the pretension of thinking I was an expert with food. I like would literally do what like people around me I trust that seem to have more knowledge than me like would say, and I would just do that because I have an open mind and I like to trust that everyone you know says the right thing. And kind of learned the hard way that a lot of people like to say that they know about nutrition and they really don't.
Right. So. Well, it's funny it because it's something that all of us do, right? We all eat food. It's not even like CrossFit. Like CrossFit, we, you know, a lot of the people that we know do it, but then a lot of people that we know don't do it. Everyone eats, so everyone has an opinion. That's a really good point.
Which is, I mean, the funniest thing because I'm like obsessed with veggies and like, you know, this year by far since working with Addy, like my food intake has never been as good as what it is now, but I still have like, you know, some cheat or treat on the side. And it just, you know, you always have this person because it's obvious that I'm muscular and all that, like I can't hide it at all. Like I could wear like 5 pair of sweatpants and sweatshirt and people would still like be able to see that I'm fit. But it's like, you'll have one piece of chocolate and you always have someone that cannot not say it and like, oh, you eat that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't understand that this is like just a little piece now. And like, I ate amazingly well all day, but like, I ate well for real, not like what I think is healthy, but like I know it is. Right. So, yeah. So, like, you're kind of around that all the time. And then I think I like what brought me to work with Addy is that so I did the zone with CrossFit and that worked really well. Just like to have a base, like learn to weigh and measure, have more knowledge about, like, you know, what's the role of like protein and fat and carbs in your diet. So it was like a good base to like gain that knowledge. But then it was like, you know, that's more like a diet for most people who wants to lose weight and avoid chronic disease. Like my goal is to be as healthy as possible and perform, which is a lot different than, you know, my mom who wants to lose weight and be healthy. And that's more like, I think what the zone is really great for. Mm-hmm. So I had like, I just like started to see working against gravity and like my really good friend, Nadia Shatila, does it. And I saw her body change and she gained strength. And I just saw a lot of people around me that I trust and have a lot of knowledge just doing it. And I was like, wow, like, they're getting leaner and stronger. And I thought the only way you could do that was by taking drugs. Mm-hmm. So let me look into that.
Nice.
Because I'm not going to do the other. Right. the other one's not even an option for me. So I think that's like how I reached out to Addy with no expectation, no nothing. And like, because I started like last year and it kind of fell through just because, again, like all those people that tells you they know nutrition, like they tried to convince me that it wasn't good for me. And like, you know, I just felt torn left and right. And after that, this year, I reached out again to Addy and I was like, look, this is what happened. And I'm giving you 100% of myself and I'm all in and like, let's just do it. And I'm like truly amazed by, like, I'm just amazed by where I am now. Mm-hmm. And like, I like give 100% of the credit to like having such a wonderful person helping me through that.
That's so cool. Do you have any advice for women dealing with body image issues? I really, really love what you said about your body being a kind of a vehicle for, mm-hmm. for what is actually important, and that the way that you look isn't what's important to you. So
yeah.
Do you have any more advice on, for women or men for that matter, dealing with body image issues?
Yeah. Well, so I read this quote recently by this woman who used to have like eating disorder, and her thing that she came back to herself to say is just saying to herself that she's a soul and not a body. And I just thought that was so cool, because I think it's like once you can switch the focus on like who you are inside as a beautiful, beautiful person, it like the rest doesn't really matter. Just like, I think if you want to become so much better as like an inner you, like you want the best for you, and the goal is health, and it shouldn't be anything else than that. And I also think that if you're with someone who wants to be with you only because of the way you look and not like the whole inner part of you, I don't want that. Like, I want to have best friend and like friend and people like, you know, who are willing to sacrifice for me for the thing I am inside. Mm-hmm. If you're just like whatever you look outside, it's just so shallow. It's a little sad to me.
I like the term meat suit for our bodies. It's just a meat suit carrying our soul.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. That's really cool. What do you remember what book that was?
No idea. I think I just saw it. Like, it was just a quote that like, I think I was reading, I was just reading this girl who wrote an article about eating disorder, and, mm-hmm. And that was just part of it. And I just thought it was awesome. I was like, gosh, yes. Like, why can't we like all spend a lot less time just like, I don't know. I feel like there's so much importance put on like the way people look and they mm-hmm. dress and this and that. And can we like talk about like, man, this person is amazing because, you know, they volunteered to go help, you know, people in trouble or whatever. Mm-hmm. And why can't we make that so much cool, you know, because that's cool. Like, being you is cool. Trying to be cool is not cool.
Right. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, it's really not.
All right, so I want to wrap it up here in a second. But what book, podcast, or other resource has had the biggest impact on you in the past couple of years?
So the book I think that has the most impact on me is called The Peaceful Warrior. And I think that was just one of the first sort of self-development book I've ever read.
And wait, it was self so, what?
Like self-development.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just so spot on with like what I was kind of going through at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just felt that open a whole thing in my head that like, hey, being spiritual is okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I grew up where people were a little close-minded, and all of that was like, oh, only granola people do meditation or whatever. And I'm like, I was like, hell no, like, this is so important. And I think that book made me like, yeah, made me feel like it was okay to like face thing and change and take risk and not think that you're too cool for school, kind of.
Right. That's awesome. It's really interesting that, especially in the athletic world, people are so used to challenge and growing and changing physically, But as soon as you start talking about emotions or relationships, that's like kind of out of bounds, right? Because it's not very valued in the athletic culture. Yeah. From the standpoint of having the happiest, most fulfilled life, it's extremely important. But what people are starting to realize in the CrossFit community is that if you deal with some of that stuff, that internal stuff, that's going to have a way bigger impact on you than finding out what's better, you know, 5 sets of 5 or 5 sets of 3. Yeah. A way bigger impact.
Yeah, because you remember, it doesn't matter what the sets you do. It just mattered that you do it fucking good.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because you have fun. Yeah.
There's another quote, small hinges swing big doors, right? And so the smallest little shift in your mindset, like you talked about earlier, just taking accountability and stopping blaming others has had this tremendous effect on your entire life and obviously your performance.
Yeah. And not just like in my life, but it makes you feel, I think it stopped making you feel alone or like you're the only one working hard and you're the only one doing this. It's like, no, everyone works hard and everyone wants to be a good person. Right. And you just have to find ways to open door for other people now instead of always trying to protect yourself from like negativity.
Right.
And that feels good.
Hell yeah. Anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No.
Awesome. This was phenomenal. where can people keep up with you online? Obviously, you have your social media channels. I think you have a website as well.
Yeah, I have a website. There's not a lot of stuff on it, though. But they can still go there. It's like clbfitness.com. There's a couple articles, or maybe not. We're working on doing a new one. But yeah, I think Instagram, if they follow my husband, they'll have a lot more funny stuff of us because he's quite hilarious. So yeah, people should follow Dave freaking Lipson and he would be so happy to have a lot more followers.
Hell yeah.
I'm good on that side, but still keep following me.
Hell yeah. Does he ever get jealous that you, like every time you talk about cuddling, you say cuddling my dog and husband? Does he get jealous that the dog gets the first mention?
I think I just say that because I think it's obvious that I cuddle my husband.
Yeah.
Like, and then I'm like, oh, I guess I should say Dave too. But in my head, it's like Dave is already in the bed. So it's not like it was already happening. And then the dog jumped in.
So funny. Well, cool. Again, I know how busy you are, and I really appreciate you making some time for this.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
All right. See you later.